The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, hello there.
Hello. Can't hear myself.
Hello? I can't hear myself.
Am I on?
I can't hear myself talk.
Am I on?
You're on, Bill.
You're on.
Oh, I'm on.
But you sound far away, too.
Yeah.
All right, everybody's on.
All right.
Chaos.
Again.
So you've joined We the People Radio, a.k.a. The Chaos Place. Hey, look, it's just hard to get in, get the other guys are out, got to get all your stuff set up. It just takes time.
Yeah, and I have an excuse.
Really?
You.
Because me?
Yeah.
You came with me? I know, that's always a loser. Oh, my gosh. But see, I have to drive, otherwise we get here even later. So this is kind of a weird downhill deal that goes on. Oh, my gosh. So, if you're listening by the radio, that's great. If you'd like to be on the chat room and you're listening on the radio, pop on your computer, wethepeopleradio.us. See a brown bar there that says to listen and chat live every Sunday at noon to two? Click that, and the chat room window will open up. And if you're having trouble with the chat room, we'd like to hear from you, too. You can give us a call at 530-605-4567. I know we have lost some of our regular chat room people because the chat room was just screwing up for them, I guess. So
I think we got all that addressed, though.
No, we didn't, actually. Yeah. I found out the other day we didn't.
Oh, we didn't?
No. We have someone else that I hadn't seen in a while on a Sunday morning in there.
Sounds like a conspiracy to me.
I know. They're just being aced out. So, there you have it. Well, one of our previous guests, who was exposing all sorts of stuff about Common Core, told me two nights ago, actually, that she had a Facebook page up that was like Shasta County Common Core or something or other, and it's missing now.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, it's just missing. So, you know, the expression that my mother hates the most, gone missing. Apparently, they have gone missing. So things do happen like that, and we don't understand it or try to explain it, but we do like to make fun of it here, because that's what we do best. So today, the only thing being deflated is going to be the VA medical system. We are not sports aficionados, but, you know, hey.
I'm sorry, Aaron, speak for yourself.
The Super Bowl of all
I'm
Super Bowls.
I'm getting over there.
Are you,
as we finish here.
Are you all over it?
12 people are at my house waiting.
Nice! Well, it's good we have you here then. Because it wouldn't have been any fun if you were over there. You would have been distracted. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go. Now you sound like the Allstate guy. That's good.
Thank you.
I still want to know where my check is twice a year.
You're in good hands.
Classic. Well, Dr. Good Hands. So let's not fiddle around anymore with our topic. Okay, so we've spoken to people about the VA benefits system, and so I think we're all pretty clear that that is super screwed up. I've got links on the page, actually. If you go to the website, there are three programs we did prior, and all those are on there listed. So once they get through the benefits deal, then they're eligible for the medical system. So that's where you come in. And we've kind of chosen not to focus on any one place or any one particular physician, so you will just be, the eye in the sky for us. So what's it look like from the inside?
Well, Aaron, I'll tell you that having been in the VA for about 5 years after being in private practice for 30, I was able to really look at the place very carefully. Understand the VA is made up of three heads. You have the VBA, Benefits Administration. You have the Cemetery Organization. And you have the Veterans Health Association. My aspect of the VA has been the Veterans Health Association. The VA is a fantastic organization. I don't know if you know what their budget was this year, but I think we're like $13 billion this year.
It's the only, as far as I know, it's the only department that has never experienced cuts.
But the problem is...
So it does keep going up.
But understand, running a health organization is very expensive the way we have to do it. A large organization has a hard time running a health association. We let's just try to see how do we give health care. In private practice, I'm patient-centered. You're in front of me. Everything that I do is for you. There's no one bugging me except the insurance companies who say I can't give you certain things.
Right.
So coming to the VA was about the similar thing. We have certain things we can't do. But the problem with organizations that run health care, insurance companies, for example, their overhead's about 5%. People love to talk about insurance companies horribly, but you know their overhead's 5%. Those are the administrators in the insurance company, all the people who don't provide health care. 5%. In the VA, it's upwards of 15%. And if you take 15% of $13 billion, that's a lot of money.
It's a chunk of change.
Now,
but still sounds pretty low.
Well, and I tried to look it up the other day. I thought I said $13 billion. I could be wrong on that number, but we can go with that anyway. But
the percentage for administration sounds low.
Well, the administration should be less. What does an administrator do in healthcare? Answer that question. Mm-hmm. What do they do? Well, for example, I go into work, and I am rewarded by the health of patients, the satisfaction of patients, and this is what I do. And when I'm behind the door with a patient, it's the most wonderful thing in the world because I love doing this. What does an administrator do? How do they justify their existence? Well, in a big system, you have to figure out some way to justify their existence. So what's wrong with the VA? The first thing that's wrong with the VA is it's not run by medical people.
Hmm.
It's run by people who have no clue what's going on. And to justify their existence, I mean, from the top down, and by the way, I do love our veterans secretary of the VA, the old one and the new one. Both are very, very good guys. They know what they're doing. The problem is they're in charge of an animal that they cannot control.
Yeah, too big.
So now if I'm gonna judge my doctors, I want to make sure they're doing good medical care. In the VA, in any big system, they can't just go with that. One of the most obscene things I heard running in being in the VA was we give bonuses to doctors and to other people based on what they do, and we have to make criterion for how they get their bonus. A lot of doctors come to the VA and take a pay cut to serve veterans. I certainly did. So the way you make that up is you provide some type of bonus system. But our past director decided that we can only pay out 40% of the total pool of bonus to the doctors. So we have to have some way to not give them the full bonus.
Because
the administrators are more important?
Because they don't want doctors to think they're important.
Oh.
Which is one of the big things I'll talk about in the VA. This is one of the biggest problems. So they decided 40% would be what they would pay out total. And then the issue is, how do they determine if you're doing a good job? Well, my argument for the past 4 years back there was, okay, if they take care of the patients right, if we have these measures we can do on patient health, if we have these measures we can do on patient satisfaction, these are the most important things we can do as docs. And how good a doctor you are is how you get rewarded. I was told in writing and personally at least 4 times that we're not paying doctors bonus based on how good a doctor they are. We pay them based on how well they support the system. And I always added comrade whenever someone told me that.
Yeah.
No fooling.
We're doctors. We run medical care. We're not in the socialist system where we are just good old boys getting bonuses.
Yeah.
But you can bonus docs by judging what they do. How do you bonus an administrator? What do they do?
All those paper clips are lined up.
Well,
see, I don't think people know that part either. That was interesting for me to learn that the administrator of a, like, say, a medical clinic, I'm sure it's the same way with the giant hospitals. Is it the same, only bigger?
Sure.
Okay, so in a medical facility, you have an administrator or a director of that facility, but that person is not the boss of the doctors. There's a doctor who's the boss of the doctors, inside that system.
And in all systems, even in the VA, there's a doctor who is my boss. Now, I was a boss of doctors, too.
Right.
And there's 2 jobs I have. Make sure they do the right job, and make sure dumb things aren't given to us from high above. that make that impede our patient care.
You were kind of the go-between between the system and the doctors on the ground.
Absolutely. And unfortunately,
what a great deal.
Unfortunately, when I left the system, all the things that were going that I've been blocking are starting to happen, and that's why I had to get in touch with people, make it clear.
Yeah.
So, but the biggest problem, there's one big problem with the VA, and it is just how we have people who do not administer health care telling people who do administer health care how to administer health care. The dumbest thing in the world.
Well, that's what the insurance companies are doing in private practice as well.
But, the VA is on steroids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But see what's happening in private practice now. Now you have the government telling the insurance companies telling the medical professionals. So it has become.
We have the insurance companies in bed with the government now.
Yeah.
And they get some sweetheart deal to manage how doctors do medicine. Well, good luck on your living if you have a serious problem.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, it's not about the patient anymore. It's about who's going to make money. And
you and your doctor have to crawl on your knees to the powers that be and hope that everybody had their Wheaties that day and is interested in helping you.
Well, in the VA system, what happens is you have to prove your worth. And as a doc, we can prove our worth, but they don't want us to think we're worthy. We want to make sure that they control us.
And at the end of the day, they want you to really love them to tell you how to do what you actually went to medical school to do. So bottom line is, if you're not very good at sucking up, this is really kind of a constant problem.
Well, as long as you have someone protecting you, the doctor administrator protecting you, you're in good shape. Doctors can do a good job in the VA, and they do a great job in the VA. I've been so impressed with the doctors and nurses in the VA. They're the ones who really care about the patients. And when you're a non-clinical administrator, you need to prove your worth as well. So they come up with ways to measure what you do. Two problems with that. One is that they're measuring what the people who you cannot control do. You get a bonus based on how the doctors and nurses do their job. You get a bonus based on how the clerks do their job. Now we're talking about Phoenix. I'm getting into Phoenix here.
Okay.
So the director says, I want patients seen within 30 days or 7 days. Great idea. By the way, good luck getting that in private practice.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we're the best healthcare anywhere. I want patients seen in 7 days. No matter what you have to do to make it look like they're being seen in 7 days, I want it done. So therefore, if you're the clerk, pardon the expression, lowly clerk, you're going to put the real books in the desk. And give him the cooked books and say, this is how we're doing it.
Yeah, you just became a long-haul truck driver with 2 sets of books.
And the director says, good job, until we realize that there's something wrong. And then everyone tries to blame the people below.
Yeah.
Oh, that clerk should not have done that.
They thought it up themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
If you're telling me that if you're pressuring me every day, you better get this looking good. Even an honest person's going to try to make it look good.
Yeah.
And people want to satisfy their boss. So that was the main point in how this whole thing got started in the first place. Here in the North State, we didn't care. We were not going to cook books. By the way, we were really good. We didn't cook books. How did we handle our problem? The old-fashioned ways. I asked docs to work a little harder, and they said, sure, we'll do it. And then administration says, well, but I can't take credit for your doctors working harder. And that's when I really couldn't take it anymore.
That's when you see the big hole in the system. All right, we're coming back to that very point.
Absolutely.
And more here at We the People Radio, easy for me to say, on Super Bowl Sunday. We're fully inflated, though, so there's no problem.
The big game.
The big game. WeThePeopleRadio.us is where you can find us online. 530-605-4567 is our phone number. Be right back.
What shall we do about them? When they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. Good deal.
good defense. You've joined We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM. We are here with a doctor from the VA system who was also the supervising physician. Is that what it was called? What were you called?
Supervising physician of physicians. That's what
I was. Yeah, I know. It kind of goes in a circle at some point. So you were responsible to the regional office?
I was responsible to the...
A doctor at the, like at the regional level? Is that what they call it?
Well, we have the VISN level, which is the Veteran Integrated Services Network. And that's...
Okay, that's the first problem with the whole system is the acronyms, but
we'll let that go. But you're not cool if you don't know all the acronyms.
Yeah, I know. I'm super not cool. I've been not cool many times in that thing. So you would report to, you know, or work with an actual doctor.
I'm a supervisor.
Okay.
Who's a doctor.
And that person's kind of counterpart is the person who was the boss of the director of the medical facility where you worked.
Well, we have two lines, if you want to put it this way. We have the doctor line. We answer to the doctor above us.
Up and, the doctor
and,
track,
and,
right?
And the chief of staff. And the chief of staff answers to the director. The director here in the local area. The director in Sacramento. And we have the administrators who answer to higher administrators and then to the director.
So you literally have two systems operating in the same building. You have the medical personnel and you have the clerical personnel.
Administrative personnel.
Okay. But
we have teams.
Sure.
Who include our clerk, a couple of nurses, and the doctor or nurse practitioner. We have administrative staff. And let's be clear here. We need some administration.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have
it. And I don't want to be rude, but... All they need, their only job should be to get me what I need and my doctors what we need to take care of patients.
Sure.
That's their only job. If I say I need, all due respect to them, if I say I need an extra exam table in a room, I expect them to get it. I'm the doctor. I don't need to find a way to get that from central.
Well, that's why you have administrative.
That's what they're there for.
So now, what about the folks that would be, they didn't go to medical school? So you have, like, maybe people who draw blood, that kind of thing. Are they part of the medical track, or are they part of the administrative track?
They're probably more of the administrators.
Okay. So and you supervised physicians that were actually in other facilities, too, in addition.
I supervised physicians in a couple of facilities.
Okay. And so I'm just, this is, I guess the reason we're not focusing on any one particular place is because all the places are laid out the same. And so wherever people are listening, your VA health facilities in your area are laid out like this.
They're laid out all the same way.
Sure. Because, you know, the problems that afflict one spot are system-driven, so they're going to affect all those other places, too. Those doctors are getting the same kind of runaround from their administrative people because those administrative people are being incentivized the wrong way, maybe.
But one of the things that started, I'm sure it's before I came to the VA, but one of my most important jobs is to keep administrators away from my docs. when I got here, it's kind of funny how you'd have administrators telling doctors things like, you know, basically complaining to the doctors they're not doing their job or whatever.
Because
they didn't know any better.
Huh.
I'll tell docs if they're not doing their job. And I can be polite and I can be respectful. And some administrators aren't so respectful, which is a big problem in the VA. Again, doctors have been taken down a peg in order to be controlled. That's what's wrong with the system as well. You can't just look at the patient and go, we're going to do what's right by you. You have to go, I better please my administrator, which I don't let that happen.
Yeah, and for not, and so if you're one of those people who finds themselves in a part of your job is being a doctor, like seeing patients, then the other part of it is overseeing other doctors, helping them be able to do their job, making sure everybody's on track there. And then you have a facility administrator who really doesn't have a huge amount of respect for physicians and really just wants to control them.
You
wind up leaving, don't you?
You know, I left for better reasons than that, but it is a problem. It's actually why you don't want to leave, because you don't want You don't want people left under the control of people who don't know what they're doing.
Sure.
Well, it's sad that you have to leave under those circumstances. I mean, you just want to treat the patient.
Well, I go treat patients anywhere. See, I don't have to worry about that.
Exactly, exactly.
I'm not an administrator. I can go see patients.
Right, but why, you know, to have to leave because the administration makes it so difficult for you to do your job?
But it's the same everywhere. You know, I wouldn't leave for that reason because I'm a fighter. I mean, the last reason I would ever leave, the last reason I did not leave this place because of that. I had a hard time leaving because of that. I wanted to make sure that I put people where they need to be.
Right.
But the bigger problem is the. It's from top down. We need to make sure that we need to stop this demeaning and disparaging of doctors in order to control them. I mean, I respect myself because of what I do. If you're a non-doctor, non-clinical person, how do you ever respect yourself? Well, I have to make sure I pump up and control doctors. Because that's what they want to do. And it is, and I feel sorry for them because they don't have a way of. They don't quite get the idea that their job is to make sure we can see patients. Period. Their job isn't to follow behind the higher administrators and pretend like they're doing everything right and trying to claw their way to the top.
Well, because when all that happens, at the end of the day, you wind up, like, if they won't replace a doctor's position, for instance, because administratively it doesn't suit their vision of the world. They would like to please their administrator. Oh, we don't need a new doctor. So now there isn't a new doctor. So how does the delivery of care, how does that affect delivery of care?
It affects it greatly. If I have a doctor gone for a week, healthcare basically stops for that team, and we have to fill it in with other docs. I made the joke before, if I have an administrator gone for 2 weeks, don't even notice they were gone. But that's true.
It is true.
Because their job isn't to take care of the day-to-day business. Right. Their job is to please their boss. And that's all their job is. And when you think about it, what else do they do?
Right.
And
so you wind up
they're in a bad position. I'm sensitive to that. But in all honesty, I'm also sensitive to the fact we need to get rid of some of these administrators.
Sure.
We don't need all these guys.
Well, they should be. I've always seen the role of like any type of management as an advocate for the people that they manage.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's their job.
Aaron, you sound like me. That's my job. Half my job is to be the advocate for the docs and the team, the medical teams.
They're counting on you to look out for them in the big politics up above, you know, to make sure that their stuff is all handled. And if you can't advocate, you know, for better care for the veterans and everybody else, what good is your position anyway? You might as well just let everybody run wild.
Might as well. That's a good thought. Maybe I'll start doing it that way.
I would. I wish you guys could have a Run Wild Friday, you know, like kind of casual Friday, just with a twist. Okay, so times of appointments, that gets impacted by all this stuff.
The doctors are given 30 minutes per patient, and when I first came to the VA, I thought, score, 30 minutes.
That seems like a lot.
Heck,
I don't get that much.
Yeah. The problem is the bureaucracy above has put all these things we have to do on every patient. You have to ask them about their feet, ask them about smoking, ask them about drinking, and literally go into this in great detail.
On every appointment?
Twice a year for some things. These are called alerts, and we have to do these things. And we have to go over every medicine they're on and make sure that changes have been noted. And by the time we finally say, hi, Joe,
You're out of time.
I'm out of time. Listen, it's been 29 minutes. What are you here for, sir? It's not quite that bad
because
you get smart about how you do things.
Right.
But in private practice, I could do so much more in so less time because, you get good at what you do. And even in the VA, I learned to get around things. But there's so much wasted time and duplicated services. Before a patient comes to see me, they've seen the nurse. And the nurse can go through the smoking and everything.
Sure.
Why do I have to do it again?
Exactly.
And you have to do it again because that's the rule.
And you're loading all this in a computer, so...
You're loading all of it in a computer, and
But why are you doing that? Why are you putting in the computer? Isn't that more administrative?
I have to document that I've discussed all these things with the patients.
Okay, but you can that can be transcribed by an administrator.
Or actually, we do have scribes, but we don't use scribes very often. If a doc can't keep up, we sometimes will allow them to have a scribe. That'd be perfect. But look how expensive this is getting.
Yeah,
this is where the big problem is. It is expensive to run healthcare the way we do it in the VA.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds great. I have a team. I have two nurses and a clerk. And the patients come in, and they only see the four of us. It's like a private office. It's great. But by the time you get finished with the benefits package that we pay everybody, and it's a very generous time off, it's expensive to run. And so now we add more to that, a scribe and other people. You can't run medicine that way.
And that's the 15% you were talking about.
That would be, but my goodness. Well, yeah, you get rid of 10% of that 15%, and then we can hire anybody in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. All right, we're going to come right back. Go have a snack. Coffee, if you can handle it.
Yeah, go easy on the coffee.
Go easy on the coffee.
Pressure's starting to go up.
We're just getting started. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Phone number here is 530-605-4567. We're at KCNR, 1460 AM.
If it takes a forever, I will wait for you for a thousand summers. I will wait for you till you're back beside me. Till I'm holding you, till I hear you sigh.
Such an appropriate song, as I was waiting for you, Aaron.
So I hear you cough.
It's the waiting room. Okay, so we were going to discuss wait times, Bob. Another home run out of the park. I realize it's Super Bowl Sunday, so what is it? Another pass into the end zone that gets caught. There's the celebration. They get fined, and then the ball's deflated.
Completely flat.
It's way too long. It's just too long.
It's a two-point conversion.
Let's hit it out of the park. Okay, so now that we've made fun of the waiting time.
Makes me want to do a victory dance and grab myself.
I knew something bad was going to happen.
Roll with it.
Hurry, jump in. Save Bill from himself.
Would you please fine Bill for that remark?
Exactly. It's like the one with the no pants on in the commune. that was Mother's Day, for Lord's sake. All right. So to the wait time. So if you don't have enough doctors, obviously, they can't be seen by administrators. So how does that all work?
Well, doctors can gear up and see patients. That's what we did here in another clinic. We just geared up when we realized patients were waiting too long.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing is how we measure wait times. I mean, how do you measure wait times? Okay, you want to be seen on this date, sir? Let's get you in within a few days of that. That would be easy. But since the Phoenix incident, they've had to find new ways to measure wait times. For example, wait time for a new patient. If you go to the community, you got about 90 days. 80 to 90 days wait time to get in to see a new doc. In the VA, we cut it to 30 days. We want to get vets in within 30 days. That's a great idea.
If they're brand new into the system.
Brand new in the system, okay. We want to get them in within 30 days. So, a veteran calls and says, hey, I'm in Afghanistan. I'm going to be out September 9th. I'd like to sign up for the VA and come in. This is June now. So we say, okay, we made an appointment for September 11th, 2 days after he wanted to be seen. 2 day wait period, right? Not according to the VA. The day he called is when they started the wait time. So for weeks, for months, he's on my list of why can't you get this guy in sooner? Because he's dodging bullets over there and he can't break away to come in and see the doc until the 11th.
Mm, sure.
So it's how they measure wait times.
Uh-huh.
Because what happens is when you call, we can record that and that's, you can't change that. That's called the create date, we call it. However, if you say you don't want to be seen until a certain date, that's the so-called desired date. They threw away the desired date because they think you're cheating with the desired date. Well, the veteran says you can't get in until the 9th.
Sure.
They said, but you're cheating. We don't trust you. So we're going to use that create date from now on. So for 3 months, I'm explaining to my boss, Mr. Jones doesn't want to come in until the 9th. Well, get him in anyway. And, okay, thanks. I just wanted to...
Yeah.
And
just wanted to let you know what's happening in reality.
Mr. General, I need to pull him off the line.
I need to fly out to California. But the point is that's a small part of the problem, but it's enough of a problem to where I'm getting delayed in my work because I'm trying to answer the same question every month. Why isn't this guy in?
Well, I think what I see and what I think the general public is hearing is that a patient stateside will call the VA and want to see a doctor, and then they have months and months to wait. Maybe they just came down with something, or they had an injury that is now starting to flare up and really causing them problems, and they waited and waited. They can't take it anymore. They call the VA, and now they have 2 months, 3 months to wait.
You got 2 to 3 months to wait on the outside, but we want to be better than that, so I understand that. Mm-hmm. It's 30 days.
Right.
If you call and you're here and you're available and you say, Dan, I want to be seen today.
Right.
We'll try to work it out. We will actually work. Docs are really good at that.
And that's the way it should be. And that's no different in private practice. I mean, if I call my doctor and I say, hey, I got a bad pain, he's not going to put me out 3 months. He's going to see me as soon as he can.
Now, established patients versus new patients, right?
Right.
Established patients, we only give them 7 days wait. That's our goal.
Okay. All right.
And we also we measure same-day appointments, too. We try to get you in the same day. By the way, if you're having a problem that you need to be seen, we also have urgent cares. If you come in and you broke your leg, come to the urgent care, and you don't see your regular doc because he's not in the urgent care, that's counted against us. Oh, you haven't seen your patient. He wasn't seen by you. But he was seen.
Even though he was seen in the facility.
He was seen, absolutely.
Oh, brother.
So we need to stop this game that we're playing, and all of this counts.
Yeah, no kidding.
Not just, your doctor didn't see you that day, therefore your doctor's bad.
Well, that's ridiculous. And then talk about, I know we have one more break to fit in, so before we do that, talk about the orientation, because we've got some things popping up in the chat room. People are like, tell them about the mass orientation, because this is super silly.
One of the issues that came up was trying to make the numbers look good. Patient calls, they need to be seen, so let's get them in as soon as possible. We have a new patient orientation that we run just to tell you all about the VA.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a separate group of people that come and get seen.
Right.
One of the suggestions from above was to have a group new patient exam visit. So now, 16 fellas in a room, and for 16 fellas in a room, and for 3 hours, they're talked to by the nurses and the staff and everyone.
All at the same time? I mean, they're all...
One at a time, of course.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they're all in the same room?
All in the same room.
Wow. What happened to patient confidentiality?
Well, no, it's confidential because you don't get anything done, but...
You're not really talking about anything that can help them. You're like, well, the paper clips are over here. The bathroom is down the hall.
We've always had the orientation. That's a great idea.
Right. But
however, now what we do, we add another layer to it. The doctor walks in and waves at the patients and goes, I'm looking at all of you. I'm okay. I'm here for 20, 30 minutes to talk about what I do in the VA.
Tell me that means they've been seen.
And then...
Ding, ding, ding. You get a star.
It's a little worse than that. So then well, we have to do something important, right? So they fill out a piece of paper with their problems. And they give all those to the doctor, who then goes and writes a note on every patient, and they've all been seen. My God, it's an amazing thing. They've all been seen.
Oh, my gosh.
If you could get yourselves a cat and rub it on each one of them, they could have had a CAT scan that day, too.
You know, Aaron, I wish you worked for me. I'm going to add that, too.
I would please.
Oh, wait. We can't charge for that, so it doesn't help.
Oh, but you could put it on the list, though, and look at how magical that was.
Now, I do want to add that if a vet's there and they need to be seen that day for some reason, like, well, I have some problems, I'm running out of medicine, this or that, we find ways to get them in. But the point is, all 16 have now been seen for your new patient evaluation. And this infuriated me. This is not good health care.
So that actually goes in their record as being seen by the doctor.
Yes.
Wow. Now, peel it apart, because I remember I had talked to you about this at one point. Okay, orientation in real life, because they used to do that, and it makes sense to have orientation. Here you're going to a new clinic, which is a big, giant, you know, I mean, it's a process, right? So you get them clued in on how the prescriptions go and all that stuff. How long was orientation back in the olden days, like when that's all it was?
It's about 90 minutes.
And people can sit through that.
Right. How'd you like to go to your doctor for the first time and you get sit in a room with 16 other people
for
three hours? And, well, I just want to talk to the doctor about my runny nose.
Well, I hate to say it, but it's starting to get that way now with the new system.
That is...
Well, I have to tell you that I brought this to the attention of the administrators, our director, in all honesty, and I was told twice, do it anyway. I said, this is cooking the books. Do it anyway. That just infuriated me. What about patient care? What about the importance of patient care? The second way to get patients in fast is we had a second policy that infuriated me was, if you can't get in within 7 days, double book the doctor. Put that patient in another patient slot and have them see both patients. One at a time, of course. But now you're cheating the patient out of their time.
Yeah, how do you get your 30 minutes?
Well, you get 15.
Yeah.
But the answer was, but this would make the doctors work harder if they do that.
Those darn slacker doctors.
And then we're told, if the doctor says, well, gee, I really can't see Mr. So-and-so in the same overbooked slot, because it's not going to be good patient care, you're told, you doctors are lazy.
Huh.
And these are the same doctors who get to the clinic at 5:30 in the morning, and some who leave later than 7 p.m. at night. And they're told they're lazy by someone who gets there at 8 and leaves at 5. I was just...
Oh, my gosh.
My brain was just exploding.
Sure. Because what are you going to do about it?
You know, how do you manage people who are the most highly trained, highly educated, highly experienced people that this country can develop? It takes a skill.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that skill is to never think you're better than they are. That's what administrators do in this system. They have to prove they're better. Oh, just tell that doctor to do this. Are you out of your mind? This is a respected guy. I'm going to respect him and take care of things. What if a doctor's not doing the right thing? Before I got to the VA, it was, just talk to him and write him up and make him leave.
But who determines he's not doing the right thing?
You know, that's a hard question. I mean, it's not that unclear. Sometimes doctors are not seeing their patients. Their doctors aren't documenting their their encounters.
But that's where you come in.
And that's where I come in, and I speak to you with respect.
Sure.
I said,
not
Joe.
Not the administrator.
That's right. I said, Joe, you got to catch up and get this done, okay? Well, before I got there, they were trying to get a fella out by writing him up and saying how bad he was all the time.
Right.
Like someone well-respected is going to say, I'm going to leave because I don't feel good about everyone. Doctors don't do that.
Hmm.
So I respected the fellow, and he actually did leave.
See, I could see incidents where the administrator would say, march around and say, you know, this is a pretty great deal. I didn't waste all my time and money in medical school. I don't really know anything about how to fix all these people, but I'm the boss of all these doctors.
Yeah.
Bully for me. How awesome is that? All right, quick break. We'll be right back. Yeah, on that happy note. Sharpen your spears. We'll be right back here at We the People Radio. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding.
Time is truly wasted. There's no guarantee. just to see yourself with Dr. Robin. Dr. Robin. You're a new better man. He helps you to understand. He does everything he can. Dr. Robin. Well, 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 you're feeling fine.
Feeling fine, aren't you? It's just how it goes.
Save the $400 at the door.
It's exactly, yeah, you're feeling fine. Okay, so continue our travels through chaos. So if you don't have a fill-in doctor at a clinic, right? And so somebody goes on maternity leave, somebody gets has a health problem, somebody retires, somebody whatever. You just keep running until you can't see people anymore?
You just see more people. We need to have a system where docs come in to fill in. And we have a system for that, but we just don't get it done.
Some places use a system like that and some don't.
Some places have a system where they have the so-called gap physician. That's a person who's there. The clinic down the street, the clinic down the hill there, they're down a doctor today. I'll be on it. I'll be right down there to take care of those patients. We don't have that here. Here we just have the patients call and say, your doctor's sick, your doctor's out. We'll try to have you see another doc as soon as possible. And then we fill up the doctor with more than one appointment at a time, of course, which has its inherent problems.
So if you as the advocate, as the physician who's advocating on behalf of the other doctors, go to your regional person and you say, hey, you know what, we're understaffed. We need another doctor.
They will show me how we're not understaffed.
Is that their job?
That's their job.
Okay, so they're...
I mean, that's...
You're
truly,
like, in the middle of the middle.
It is truly a problem.
No kidding.
They'll come and reassign everybody the way their percentage of seeing patients and go, well, no, you don't need any other doctors. You guys are doing fine. Thank you. It's nice to know we have to report.
So what's gonna be the procedure for replacing you once you're gone? Is that going to be a 2-year process?
They've posted the position, and I don't know where they are in it, but the place I went to, they asked me to come work there 9 months before the doc who is leaving is leaving. 9 months. I was offered that job in June, and the fellow's not leaving until March. And so now I'm working with him still up there together.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we should make sure there's some overlap, make sure there's enough docs. We should never have a lack of docs.
Right.
Here, 2 weeks before I was leaving, they posted the position. And
so it's going to be a while. It's going to be a while.
And are the people who would work at the clinic, are they typically general practitioners? Are they...
Internal medicine and family practice.
Internal medicine and family practice. Okay. And so that's who you're... If you go to the VA clinic and you're being seen by somebody, they came from typically general practice or internal medicine?
You want to see a primary care doctor. He or she's the person who controls... We navigate your care through the VA. That's what we're the advocate for the patient.
Okay.
Mr. Jones sees this. Darn it, I'm going to get this from Mr. Jones. And we also have nurse practitioners who take care of patients too, and they're fantastic, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much good about the VA in terms of its clinical practice.
They're literally messing it up themselves.
They're literally impeding the ability to take care of patients.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a port? Well, I'll probably have to get back to this, but think about this.
Yeah, because we have to do specialty
care. The influx of patients that they're getting now. I mean, I'm sure that with everything kind of wrapping up overseas and people coming back, that you're getting swamped with new patients.
They're planning, so we're planning for that.
Let's touch on that.
Alrighty. Coming back, you're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We need you in the chat room. That will be useful and helpful. Good place to ask questions. You're here at KCNR, 1460 AM, Shasta Redding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
to Hour 2 of We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Really easy. And phone number here at KCNR is 530-605-4567. You've got Aaron, Bill, Bob, and our doctor from the VA. We're talking about VA medical care from a doctor's perspective, and we're not focusing on any one location, and we're not gonna throw him to the wolves either. So that's, you know, people are like, why didn't you say his name? Because you know what? You don't need to know it.
Everybody knows me anyway.
And everybody knows you.
And if you don't,
So we're all good there. But we, you know, the thing is, you have to be able to speak frankly about these topics, and there are folks who listen all over the country, and they have medical facilities in their town or near their town, or people that they know that use them, and the issues are basically the same. So having a, you know, rip the lid off one location isn't helpful.
That's a great point. Some areas aren't near as bad as others, and some are way better. You know, I mean, it's
They do all face the same restrictions, the same structure exists in all those places. How that's being handled might be slightly different, but if you're seeing problems in your facility, some of the things we're talking about could actually be involved. Mm-hmm. We're not going into the whole benefits thing, but if that is something, actually you should know about. We've done 3 different programs with that, and I linked them all on the webpage, so you can go back and hear those commercial free, so you'll save yourself a little time. And there was a whole lot of information on the website for those 3 programs, but you have Veterans Benefits Administration, so VBA you hear about. You have VHA, Veterans Health Administration, and then what's the cemetery one called? Is it Veterans Cemetery? No, it's got some other...
Heck, I don't want to be involved in that too much.
You shouldn't be promoting the cemetery part.
I'll know it better.
Okay, there's a cemetery part. Okay, we forget the name for that. But so today we're just focusing on the veterans' health care. The first hour we talked a lot about, you know, how the doctors are supervised, how it goes on, you know, what goes on in the actual clinics, and the fact that there's an administrative track and a physician track, if you will, that both answer to somebody at a kind of a regional level. So oftentimes it's a little bit like the paper pusher folks are telling the doctors what to do, but they've never been to medical school and they're technically not their boss. So you can see how this is fraught with problems. But we didn't get to the specialty stuff yet. So talk to us about orthopedic. Is Mike on the phone? We have a Horse Creek Mike on the line. I think he's the one who asked in the chat room about the orthopedic. Fire away, Mike.
Yeah, one of the things I'd like to make a point of, and by the way, Doctor, thank you very much for your service to the vets.
Thank you for your service, sir.
You're quite welcome, sir. One of the things we don't have in the system, and orthopedics is one of those things that you walk down any VA clinic, hospital, and about half of us limp, and we don't have any orthopedics.
Yeah.
Podiatry is another short specialty. As many of us, for instance, of Vietnam era, which I am, we get a little older, we begin to need cardiologists. Now, as an example, within the VA system, I had a heart attack about 4 years ago, a little over 4 years ago, and almost immediately had some complications, and they had to take me all the way from Roseburg up to Portland, because there was no VA cardiologist except in Portland. Now, when I got out of there, I asked my general practitioner, who happens to be a PA, you know, well, who's going to be my cardiologist? And she says, I am. Well, my cardiologist, civilian cardiologist, says, I'm not releasing you to someone who is not a doctor, and not specially trained in cardiology. You need a real-life cardiologist. There are none for me to have. And so for the past 4 years, once or twice a year, I go in and pull out of my pocket and pay my cardiologist to see me. But I look at this in orthopedics. We just recently got an orthopedics man who is retired out of civilian practice and has decided to donate 2 days, I say donate, probably getting paid, but 2 days a week to see the vets. I mean, Come on now.
Well, Mike,
we jump out of trucks. We jump out of airplanes. We run up hills.
Well,
we jump into ditches. Orthopedics is probably the most needed specialty practice in all the VA.
I agree with you 100%, but let me jump in and help you with this, because this is very important. Number one, healthcare by specialists is very expensive. It's just that simple. The VA cannot get enough docs to come in some of these specialty areas because it can't pay them enough. I don't know if you know this, but orthopedists, I hate to say this about them, but because I love them, they're fantastic, but they make a lot of money. They make upwards of $1 to $2 million a year. The VA will only pay them about $400,000 or $500,000. I know that sounds like a lot of money, but they work not as they don't have to work as hard. So it's hard to attract them into the VA, in other words. I'll give you another thing about orthopedics. Remember, on a profit hospital and a doc who's trying to make a living, of course, if you have a knee replacement, it's cost you about $50,000 in the private sector. The VA has a hospital and has a few orthopedic surgeons who they pay ahead of time. So bottom line is the comparative cost is a little bit less than half that, or $21,000, $22,000. This is a good thing about trying to keep costs down. On the other hand, you can't get enough orthopedists to come in at the price that we'll pay them. That same thing is true with cardiologists and all. You can't pay them enough to come because we cannot afford it. Now, I have a theory. We can get rid of some administrators. We can probably pay them more. But we cannot pay these specialists enough to get them here in the VA.
To work exclusively for VA.
I understand that. Right. I tend to agree with you. Our medical system is broken in many ways. It's kind of like Medicare, which I'm now becoming available for, but if you tried to find a doctor to take new patients for Medicare, you can't because they don't pay them enough.
Sure. And I'll give you another one. Orthopedists, ear, nose, and throat doctors, they're surgeons. Every minute they're here in the VA seeing patients, they're losing money because they're not in the operating room. So when they come in and take care of patients in the VA, I mean, I love them. They'll do it. I got guys who are willing to do that. But I need to have administration understand that we better treat these guys nice because they're losing money every minute they're working with vets, but they love vets. And that's why you when you find the guys who are working in the VA, these are great guys.
Yeah, most of them are. My orthopedist up in Roseburg, like I say, retired out of private practice, decided to, quote, donate 2 days a week to see the vets. You know, because he felt there was a debt to be paid, which I appreciate. He's a great doctor,
sure.
You know, very competent, very, very, very gentle touch.
So, what about the heart thing, Doc? What do we do with the heart? Like a heart specialty, you've got a ton of people who must need that.
Well, remember, all doctors have been trained in all the doctors you see in the VA, your primary care docs. We've been trained in this too. We work with cardiologists, and I don't know what your cardiologist does every year, but I find it kind of strange all the time that someone has a heart attack, have bypass surgery, they've had their surgery. The only thing the cardiologist checks every year is, Mike, are you having chest pain? You say, No, Doc, I'm doing just fine. I go, so end of story. Have a nice day. We don't do something to everybody every year, for example.
That's specific to like a cardiology.
Right, unless they have some type of symptom or they have heart failure that we found after their heart attack. My dear friend cardiologist, they make that comment to me all the time. It's like, why am I going to see this guy, Dan? I go, yeah. I don't know, because they say they want to see you every year. He goes, okay, but I don't do anything.
Does the VA mandate that you send somebody to a cardiologist for a checkup every year if they've had a history?
Oh, no. We have a cardiologist in this area, in the VA, and they're very good at working with the docs to make sure that patients get what they need. But we don't want to waste the patient's time. And it gets very complex. I mean, if someone's worried about their heart, of course they're going to see the cardiologist.
Yeah.
We understand that. But majority of the time, heart problems are rather chronic, but all they need is monitoring. We don't even do an EKG every year in a patient because that's not necessary if they're not having pain. In the private sector,
I will agree with you on that. And in most cases, now there in Roseburg, as an example, there was a cardiologist, a trained cardiologist, and she was seeing some heart patients. However, of course, she was overbooked for that, and then they finally said, fine, you're not going to see any more cardiologist patients. You're going to now be a GP, which I thought was a terrible waste of, you know, a resource.
Well, some of our doctors actually in the VA are specialists as well, but they're doing primary care, and they're doing their specialty as part of their work in the VA. We have one cardiology-trained doc, fairly local, who sees patients. He loves seeing patients. And
there's a lady here who's a infectious disease
there's a
specialist,
doc who's infectious
whatever
disease.
That kind of person is.
Well, with hepatitis B and AIDS and everything, trust
sure.
me, we need those
but
people.
But what are they called? Are they just called infectious disease?
Infectious disease.
Oh, okay.
So they, but the funny thing is that they like to do the primary care, too. And so we're blessed to have those type of people. We actually have a full cardiologist here in the Reading area as well who sees vets. But that's like the best of both worlds. I can ask her questions about patient X, and she'll say, okay, here's what I would do. I said, well, do you need to see the patient? Half the time it's, well, not unless you want me to. And every specialty is different.
So you can swap back and forth. You're not mandated to only be the one who sees that person. If they need to see that specialty person that works in the clinic as a GP part of the time, you can slide them over.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Well,
any day.
Good.
Any day. So that works well.
Nice.
But you know, the GP or primary care doc or family practice or internal medicine doc, we had a lot of training, so it's not like we don't know hearts.
Yeah, sure.
In fact, I'm very proud of the fact that the surgical subspecialties, I got a lot of training in all those things. Half the time, you don't need to go anywhere, but I'll take care of things.
Sure. One-stop shop. All right, Mikey, I hope you feel fully inflated, and we will catch you later on.
Thanks again, Mike.
All right, thank you.
Take a really quick break here. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Nice
Bob. Okay, so during the break, we actually learned more. We always learn more during the break. It's terrible. We wish you were here with us during the break. Okay, so let's go back to the specialty care. We have a couple other factors. You always have a financial factor, like you do even in private medicine, but with specialty folks, like specifically the heart people, so if they want you to come back and have a treadmill every single year...
Well, there are two reasons why that happens, right?
Yeah, why would that be?
Okay, in fee-for-service, you get paid for what you do. So
that's if a veteran's leaving the VA medical system.
No, I'm sorry. Fee-for-service is just your regular doctor.
Oh, right. Oh, not that they're going to get, not that somebody outside the system is getting paid to work on them.
No, I get paid when I see patients.
Oh, that's fee-for-service, too.
Fee-for-service.
Oh.
See, that's the private sector. But we have two problems. One is that cardiologists and specialists are held to a higher standard. If you've had a heart attack and you have a second one, you're going to say, why didn't you fix this, doc, as a cardiologist? Even though there's nothing they could have done to fix it ahead of time.
Sure.
Technically.
They have to be a little more paranoid.
And then we have lawyers.
That's why it's called a practice.
And then we have the law system that says, yeah, doc, you should have fixed this. And so people get very cautious. It's cover your rear.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So if I'm a cardiologist, yeah, I'm going to have Mike come in and have a treadmill every year, EKG treadmill, even if he doesn't need it, because Mike expects me to keep him from ever having another heart attack. And that one out of 100 that does have another heart attack is going to say, that doctor
didn't treadmill me.
But it's all based on the fact that we're forced to because we're covering our rears with lawyers and everything.
But the cardiologist that you've been working with for, what, 5 years or so, who's a very good cardiologist, said, really, there's no reason to do that.
One of the best. She explains it very clearly. Here's when you do what you do. You do a treadmill if someone's having chest pain, or actually a treadmill or a chemical treadmill. These are things you do if someone has a symptom. You don't just do them all the time. With no symptoms, someone's doing fine, you will monitor them in other ways.
Okay.
Do VA doctors have to carry the same levels of malpractice insurance as private practice doctors? Are they as culpable as a private practice doc?
We're pretty much
covered. Umbrellaed under some kind of government.
We're covered. We don't buy extra malpractice insurance. We're covered under our employment. It's one of the benefits of our employment.
Okay.
So that's kind of a good thing.
It's a good thing. And we take less money, but we have less expenses.
Sure.
Correct.
And then you work a regular schedule, so you're not on call at the VA. I guess it depends on the facility.
We have extended hours clinics where you work on Saturdays sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Every contract I've ever signed in my life, insurance company and VA, it says this clause, you're employed 24/7.
Oh, wow.
No, okay.
That means patients can call. I can have to come in any time, any day. Now, no one does that.
Sure.
But that's always been the contract part.
Well,
of the,
you know,
the Blue Shield makes you sign that.
In private practice,
it's implied.
If the truth were known, it's probably not a whole lot different because most doctors are always on call anyway. I mean, a good doctor.
I was never on call. No, I'm just joking.
Right. I'll bet you weren't.
My God, 24/7 really meant it for me.
Uh-huh. It was real. Well, okay, so now let's say that somebody lives, because that bill, the Access to Care bill, was written and passed last August. The idea was to, I know you're already laughing. Trust me, it makes me want to stab myself in the eye with a pen. It was written to help veterans, for one, get care in a more timely fashion. So if they're in a place where the wait times are very, very long, it would allow them to go outside the system. First big hurdle is, will someone outside the system take the VA reimbursement?
Oh, you must have heard what I've said before.
Yeah, so that's obviously like a not as easy as it sounds.
But it sounds good to say, you're going to get seen, sir. If you can't get in within 30 days, we're going to make sure you get seen.
Right. But okay. They at least have the option.
Well, hey, it's called the Veteran Choice Act.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now. So the veteran has a choice to see someone outside the VA if they can't be seen in a timely manner. The problem is, it is up to them then to find the doctor that will see them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
People always come to me and they go, can you get me a doc? I go, well, the Veterans Choice Act says I'm not supposed to get you a doctor. You have now a choice. You can be seen by someone else. And you do the footwork.
Right.
But the problem is, you have to cheat some, right? I have to call Dr. So-and-so. Can you see my patient? You know, because do it as a favor.
Sure.
Because they don't get much money. They get Medicare.
Right, the reimbursement
rates.
Sucks.
And so who's going to see all the patients?
Well, then another piece of that was that if you were outside a 40-mile radius, then you could go see somebody at the local level. Well, if you're outside a 40-mile radius, and that's as a crow flies radius, so we're talking mostly rural, well, you have fewer physicians, so your ability to actually get the care, then back to the same problem. Another facet of it was that if you were outside a 20-mile radius for specialty care, rather than get bussed from, like up here, you've got people in Lake Shastina sitting on a van, have to go to Mather Air Force Base. That's it.
Well, when you live in the rural area,
to get their eye examined, you know, it's crazy.
When I came to Reading, this is somewhat rural to me.
Yeah.
And when I first came here, patients had to go to Sacramento anyway.
Right.
We didn't have the specialists up here.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing happens here. Now, by the way, that 40-mile and 20-mile, I love the way they do this.
Well, the VA forgot about the 20-mile. They ignored that one, so.
40 miles of any VA facility.
Right.
So now, if you're 40 miles, you have to be 40 miles away. If you're 40 miles away from Reading, you have to be 40 miles away from any facility, even if I don't have a orthopedist.
Oh, hi. The best part is, how about the doctor in Wairika? It's one guy. So the one guy who has a limited number of skills, but if you're within a 40-mile radius of that guy, you're close enough to a medical facility to not qualify for outside the system.
I think you've got it.
And it's like, right. Are you guys crazy?
So you mentioned on the choice plan, if a vet has a choice card and he goes out and finds a private doctor, that doctor is paid at VA rates?
At Medicare rates, I believe what it is.
Is it Medicare rates? So then again, you got to find a doctor that's going to work for the reduced rate.
Sure.
So it may not be,
So it doesn't necessarily solve the problem.
Right.
And then the VA, if they go outside the system, that doctor is paid, and they have, and let's say the veteran has Medicare and VA coverage, Medicare becomes primary. If they have a copay, they have to pay the copay of Medicare. And if they are someone who has a copay with VA, they have to pay the copay for that. So it's potentially very expensive, too.
Why would you use a choice card if you have Medicare?
Exactly.
Right.
Kind of, unless you're going to pay 20% of some fairly hefty bill.
But you have to with the choice anyway.
Correct. And mm-hmm. that's where they kind of, basically, you're in the VA system and you will comply because we will make it hard for you to leave. It's just crazy.
We do have good health care. I mean, a lot of people, I know the wait time is bad for specialty care.
Yeah,
I know
and
that,
the distances are bad.
I know when I send my patient to Palo Alto for a hip replacement, that's bad to me.
Yes. Or cancer treatment.
Well, now, some things we start elsewhere and then we bring them locally. We do not have patients going to cancer for cancer treatment three times a week in Mather.
But if they live way outside this area, if they don't live in the Reading area and they live far outside, there are a lot of extensive travel times being required.
But that's their choice to live outside
exactly.
in the area. I mean, we can't set up clinics. I say this speech frequently, and I'm going to tell it to you.
Please do.
Back in 20, 30 years ago, we had one VA hospital that was called Martinez. So our veterans up here in Reading would travel to Martinez to see their regular annual care doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That was not a good system. So we decided, let's make community-based outpatient clinics. Let's put them all over to give our patients better access to that care. We could not afford to build 30, 40, 50 hospitals. We could not afford to have 30, 40, 50 specialists in every area.
Right.
You couldn't afford that. So what we had to compromise. Now we have excellent docs taking care of patients. I'm proud to say we have more family physicians doing this now because we had trained in specialty care stuff a lot more, minor surgeries and such. But we have that basic setup, and now when we have something that we don't have here, we have to send you elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
The system could not afford to do what we'd like to do, which is have every specialty everywhere, every 20 blocks. I mean, that's unreasonable.
It's unrealistic.
Right. Well, it's no different than if you went to a specialty doctor on private, private insurance. You're not going to get right in. You're going
to
have a fairly
substantial wait
time.
I have to see a neurologist for this trigeminal nerve thing.
Neuralgia.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Not much we can do, by the way, for that, but don't get me started.
Right, the steak knife in the side of the head illness. But I've been fooling around with this for 2 years?
Probably 2 years, yeah.
2 years now. And the last time I saw the guy was in, like, October. I can't get back into him until the end of February.
And remember, as I said,
he gives me a drug that doesn't work.
But there's nothing else to do.
And I wait 3 or 4 months, and it's
But keep in mind, there's access to specialists, and then there's access to treatments at work. And sometimes I tell patients, sure, we can send you to see the specialist, but he ain't going to do anything.
He's not going
to
help you.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you're stuck.
It's a feel-good
move. And I can give you the same medicines that they give you.
Yeah, exactly.
But where have you talked to them anyway?
Yes, you know what? I'm experiencing that outside the VA. So it exists in both places. Okay, when we come back, I want to talk about the idea that what if we just got rid of the VA system and all veterans who qualified for care were given a medical card so they could just use whatever system is in place in the area where they live. And then they wouldn't have to go to these facilities. We would eliminate all of that and the overhead. But what does that look like?
Let's discuss that.
So let's plumb that well, because that's something that comes up quite a bit, and we should actually hear what it looks like from the inside. We will be right back. We are talking to a doctor from the VA system. If you have any questions or would like to call us, you better do it fast. It's 530-605-4567.
hard today. I hear every mother say the pursuit of happiness just seems a bore. And if you take more of those, you will get an overdose. No more running, nor the shelter of a mother. They don't help her, they just help you on your way through your busy dying day.
After this show, I think I need a little mother's little helper.
Wasn't that Valium or something?
Yeah.
What was Mother's Little Helper?
It was heroin. It was cocaine.
Oh.
It was a little alcohol.
Those were hardcore mothers. I'm thinking it was just like Valium.
No, it was for the kids, of course, right? They you give them this at evening. They fall asleep. You got dancing and having a party.
Back. I knew somebody whose mom disappeared for like two years because she was hooked on some prescription medication and basically never came out of her room.
These kids got hooked on the medicine.
Oh, it was the kids hooked on it.
FDA stopped it. Thank God.
See, I was born in 1961, so I missed some of the...
You missed all the fun.
The innuendo, you know.
I lived 5 miles from Woodstock, didn't find out about it until 20 years later.
I was 50 miles from Woodstock, and I learned about it in college.
And, of course, you were there like everyone else.
But I was there when it really happened, but I think I was, 12? I missed Vietnam. I mean, it was like, ew, the news is on, you know, and we were busy. We had
If you can remember it, you weren't there.
School and sports and paper routes, and I was like junior high right then, you know, elementary and junior high. Missed it. Yeah, obviously, we were really politically aware. And people out there that dislike us are going, see, that explains everything. I always like to be, full disclosure. Okay, so if the solution were to wipe out this system that seems to be, like, unable to be fixed, what would that look like?
It would be a hot mess.
It'd look like the explosion of cost.
You could not afford to give people private health care through the government.
Well, you brought up a great point when you said if we send somebody to a hospital and they got to get admitted, it's $50,000 right out of the pocket. Or if they go to a VA hospital, it's 12.
Right.
I mean, imagine, you know, multiply
or 21,
that.
22. But this is exactly right, and that's just orthopedics.
Right.
To come see me, I'm paid ahead of time, so that's why they think they can have me see 20, 30 patients.
And you're
hour.
Not getting worse care. You're just you're getting care that is more managed.
It is managed care, and that's kind of the weakness of it too. But the beauty of it is that the costs are less if the care is managed.
Is it like Kaiser?
It's
I mean, is this the same? Since I've never lived in a place that had what is it called? What's Kaiser called? It's
managed health care.
Yeah, but they have a name for it. Anyway, whatever the heck it's called. Okay, so is VA set up like those?
Very much so. Remember, what's the difference? As a doc on the outside, I'm paid from each patient as they come see me. On the VA, I'm paid ahead of time, a salary per year, and they can all come, and I don't charge more when they come see me.
Okay.
And so if we set up a system where we just gave the veterans a card, just call it a Medicare card.
Sure.
And then they're going to go out to the private sector and see patients and see docs and everything. The price would just explode. We could never afford to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I can talk to anybody who's thinking about that. We can never afford. We don't have endless money. Why do people think the money is endless?
Because it comes from the government.
No, because it comes from me.
It's Obama money.
It comes from me and my taxes.
Yeah,
and so,
exactly.
So we cannot afford.
So even if you
that.
Got rid of all the overhead of the administrators and, you know, all the different things and the facilities, the price of maintaining the facilities, it would never even out.
If we, right, I mean, it would cost a lot more than $13 billion to give every veteran a card to see any doctor they want to see out there. Remember, every time you come see me, I charge you, and in the private sector.
Right.
Every patient needs to have more visits because you get sued if something goes wrong in the private sector a lot more. In the private sector, you couldn't afford surgery. You couldn't afford. My goodness, these things are very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he just helped me. It's HMO. That was what I was grappling for. Yeah, Kaiser is an HMO. I've never lived in an HMO place. I'm always preferred provider. You know, where you have to have somebody who's on a list. Blah blah blah.
It's another just a name for the same type of thing.
Yeah, and it was cost more. HMO coverage if you live inside one of those networks is always less. But I have heard that people aren't as happy with it because it is more of an assembly line type of care.
Well, the only way to keep the cost down is to manage health care.
Which means you manage what they get for treatment.
Absolutely.
And
limit
service.
What they get.
Correct.
I mean, insurance companies do that, too. They try to limit what we can give. In an HMO, it is strict limitations.
So no, maybe no knee surgery for you because you're too old or you're too whatever? Or
absolutely.
Okay, so we get into that whole thing. And that's what's happened with the Obamacare thing. Because it's not affordable care, so we'll have to, you know, we're going to have to call it something else. It's like high-speed rail, you know. It's not going to run at high speed, so we have to just stop calling it that and call it high-cost rail like it is. So, high-cost health care insurance is where we're all headed, and the VA's already kind of mitigated that in a way.
Sure.
What about the folks that do live, you know, in the far rural areas? Can they go see, is there a system now in VA now, can they, if they can't do the travel, can they go see somebody local?
You can get fee arrangements for you. That's hard. You still have to be a veteran in the system.
So correct.
To become a veteran in the system, you have to see a VA doc.
Okay.
Again, we can't have doctors every...
Wasn't it called like fee basis? Or
it's called fee basis.
But then they see someone outside, right?
Yes.
Or local. I mean, I would think someone closer to them. Because why else would you do it?
Well, you do it for lots of reasons. You don't want them traveling to Palo Alto, for example.
Okay.
Traveling to San Francisco to get services that we can give up here. But again, it's expensive.
Sure.
We have to remember we don't have a big pool of money that we can just rely on.
Absolutely. And who decides that? Where is that decision made that they can do that or can't do that? How does that happen?
It is. We need to be good stewards of the public money. And so we all have to think about this.
Sure.
I mean, it's
but is it like ultimately in real life, like if Bill was your patient and he lived in the middle of nowhere and couldn't make the trip or whatever and you decided he needed to see somebody closer, do you, the doctor, decide that?
I put in a request for those services and doctors and really good people who are very, very good to our guys most of the time will decide if that's reasonable or not. I mean, sometimes people ask for bizarre things. I want to see a chiropractor outside. Well, we have one right here. Well, I don't want to see him. I want to see someone else. Why? Is there a reason for that? If there's no reason for it, I would even say no.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's different coming from a doctor.
So does the you but know, the doctor has control over it?
The doctor has control over it, and he's a dear friend of mine. Mm-hmm. So he's very good at being as good as possible. With all the new things going on, it's a lot easier to get a fee referral.
Interesting. What's some other stuff that people don't know that sometimes people don't understand or even veterans don't understand about how their health care is going?
What other things veterans don't... Well, if they want to call in and ask, I can... bottom line is we're a health maintenance organization, HMO, in many ways. We have to watch the dollar because we don't have unlimited money. That is just so important. And I've always been somewhat against HMOs because they do impede what we can do.
It's more about the system than it is
bureaucracy.
About the patient.
Bureaucracy, absolutely. And it's my biggest complaint about the VA is that there are far too many people who don't know what they're doing, who aren't doctors.
Supervising medical
care. Who are trying to determine what patients get. And this comment I made about, and all due respect to people here in the system, but when I hear the words, the director wants this, director wants that, my first thought in my brain is, what med school did the director go to? It's our job as docs to tell him or her what our patients need, not the other way around.
Sure, because you're the person on the ground with the medical knowledge, and they should be figuring out how to make the system work around that.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
They need to get me what I need to take care of vets. That's all their job is. Nothing
much.
Else.
And so if that's not happening, just like from a practical standpoint, okay, so you have somebody in there that doesn't see that as their job, and you're having trouble delivering service because they're not getting you what you need, what's the mechanism to fix that?
I go to his boss and write letters.
And
I mean, that's
and
that's,
does that work out like the, is that like sending him to Dianne Feinstein or Barbara Boxer? You know, you
well, it works out pretty well.
Dear doctor, it's been fabulous, and
we'll see how well it works out. Put it like that.
Oh, okay, all right. So you haven't done that a whole lot.
No.
Oh, okay. Because that does that just create problems when you do that? Is it like every, is it like everywhere else?
It creates problems, but not for me. I mean, I'm never going to not speak my mind. Ever.
Sure. And so what about the other doctors? They count on you to kind of do that for them?
They do.
Okay. So if they don't have somebody who's an advocate, what are their options?
We usually have advocates. All the people who are in the position of leadership at my level are advocates. It's pretty amazing.
Okay, so that's not something that goes that gets screwed up.
It only gets screwed up because the person right up above us can sometimes make decisions that aren't that we don't like.
All right.
And when we say we don't want to do it, the answer is, well, do it anyway.
I swear, this sounds like second grade. Do people get sent to the corner?
Can you imagine a room of 12 people and one person who's our boss? Yeah. And we're saying, we don't really think that's a good idea. He says, well, do it anyway. No, we don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
The director
why are we
it.
Doing that? I don't know.
Oh, my God. It sounds wonderful. Like kindergarten. Do you guys take naps? Do you have little rugs? Do you have cubbies?
That'd be a good idea.
Cookies?
I would freak out. We have Lydia hanging on the phone, but we're going to hold her hostage through the break. We're just going to tell her ahead of time, you are our hostage, Lydia. But it's going to turn out good for you. That it'll be a good hostage situation. You'll like us in the end, like all good victims do. All right, so our Stockholm Syndrome music is... Do we have that sorted out, Bob?
We're getting there.
Oh, we're getting there. Oh, so maybe we shouldn't have held her hostage. And maybe it's not going to work out good. So the VA system, the more we look into it, the more it becomes sort of inexplicable.
Just needs to be fixed. We need to stop what we're doing, and maybe we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll have
segment.
To close out with that really quickly. All right, our last really swift break. We'll be right back. We're going to find out what's on Lydia's mind. Let me hear a little more from the VA medical system. Fire away, Bob. We had to go there. See, that's why we can cover all these unpleasant topics on We the People, and people still come back for more because, you know, there is a little bit of fun to it. All right, so let's get Lydia in here from the land of the telephone, so, and just in case she has other things to do today. Miss Lydia, fire away.
Hi there. Sorry to call in so late. This is not a VA question, but I thought maybe the doctor could shed some light on it. My husband and I are both senior citizens. We have Medicare, and we pay about $500 for our supplemental from Blue Cross.
Oh.
My husband's a diabetic, and we thought this time, rather than sending away for his supplies, we would get it through Walmart, which would be local. When we went to pick them up, we had a deductible, which we've never had before. And I'm just wondering, is this some more of Obama's business, or did he do this to us, or why?
So this is a who should we blame call. I like it.
It's hard to know who to blame for that. I don't know the details for you, Lydia, But health care, every year we get changes in our health care. And because of the onset of the Affordable ACA, insurance companies have been required to change a few things. And remember, insurance companies were in bed with the Obamacare people, and they all made decisions on what they're going to do and how they can keep their profit up. So perhaps one of the things that happened with yours is they added a little deductible so they can keep their profit up. And this is what they did. They've been going around changing things so they can still make money. They are a business.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true. It just seems like, you know, when you're paying $500 a month for supplemental care, and then on top of it have to pay a deductible, which we've never had before, it just seemed kind of bizarre to me, and I didn't know, you know, if this was another one of our illustrious president's great ideas, or who's to blame.
Anything that costs more is probably his idea. However, understand the problem. Let's go back to the beginning, just so you have a flavor for how this works. If there were no insurances, you could trade a cow or a chicken with me to take care of your health care. And health care is very inexpensive. But now that you're not paying for it, quote-unquote, an insurance company is, the costs have risen through the roof.
You've got to fund their whole machine.
Yeah. Absolutely. And remember, we also need, I mean, the one thing that no one ever speaks of anymore since ACA was passed was tort reform. What happened to that idea?
Yeah.
We still have this, we're still held to the same standards by lawyers that we were before ACA, but we're getting less. So now, insurance companies, doctors, everyone has to find a way to make up the difference. And we still have to do so much. We need to stop the frivolous lawsuits and all the craziness that happens, and we will never do that as long as lawyers are involved or in charge of this country.
Boy, that's true. That's that whole tort reform. That's a whole other show.
It has not been mentioned since this whole thing happened. Remember?
And that was the one thing that should have been done.
The first thing that should have been done.
That tells you how strong that lobby is.
So Lydia, did we adequately not really answer your question?
Well, yeah, he did shed some light on it. It's been a very interesting program, and I've enjoyed him, and I want to thank all of you for doing what you do. Have a good Super Bowl game, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lydia.
Thanks, Lydia. Thanks, Lydia. Guys, stay inflated.
Enjoy the big game.
Okay, so what are some easy things that could be fixed? In our last five, you have 5 minutes now to fix the whole system, which I mean, you told me you could do that, so.
We've got to have the Secretary of the VA
yes.
go down and truly streamline his staff. We have Central Office, which is the big group of administrators
in Washington, D.C., which is not central, but okay.
And what do they do? I still ask you, what do they do? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But they better start getting me people I need to take care of patients.
Do you ever deal with them?
More recently, I am a little bit, but I know I don't. We don't know what they do, and they don't come bug us at all.
Interesting.
We get sometimes emails sometimes.
Sometimes that's better.
Their job is to give us emails. That
how many of them are there?
I have no idea.
Oh,
it's a nebulous thing. How much do they make? It's an expensive
thing
to run.
Another big question.
And then we have local administrators in the VISN, which is from here to Hawaii. And then we call that the VISN office.
So that's all of California and Hawaii?
Yeah, the VISN, I believe VISN 21 is California, Hawaii, the islands out there, Guam and all.
Okay.
It goes that far. But we have people in the VISN office who do whatever they do.
Right.
I mean, they better justify what they do, or we should get rid of them. That's what I've suggested to Secretary McDonald. Get rid of people that don't have a job. And then, of course, we have the facility, Northern California, and we have people who work down there in administration. Again, their job should be to get us what we need to take care of patients. Period.
Because that's the whole goal of having this stinking facility in the first place.
That's the idea. Instead, they have to make up what they do to their boss. And so I'm part of that in some way. I write an evaluation of myself, and it's like 3 or 4 pages long with all this junk I have to put in there.
Right.
In my case, I got a lot of stuff that's true. What do you do if you're an administrator? Well, it's not. I don't see patients. I don't. I administer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well.
Well, those doctors need a lot of administering. You know, they,
absolutely.
But they're not technically their supervisors. So what are? So they're administering.
But from above, well, they. It's a long story. But from above, Secretary McDonald needs to look down the line and say, "Who is not needed here? Why are we such a big system?"
Yeah, but you know, when you say that, the first thing that's going to happen is they're not going to need all this money. Then they're going to have to cut the budget. If we don't have all these people, then we have to cut the budget.
No, what we do is we add docs and nurses.
Yeah,
right.
People who actually treat veterans. Well, see, and that's another.
We add the orthopedists. We add orthopedists and people mm-hmm. who are very expensive.
Right.
And we had those facilities.
Exactly.
Well, look at that Access to Care Act also came with earmarked money, and it's not really earmarked because that's a nasty word and we don't do that anymore, but targeted funds. How's that?
There you go.
God, my political speak's getting better. Targeted funds for the clinic like in Reading and in Chico, but instead of adding on to those facilities, they have to build new facilities because there's no place to add on.
Right, and we don't own facilities, right?
Yeah, right.
You do know that we don't own the
Reading Clinic. They rent the ground, and when it's like 18 months or 18 years goes up, yeah, we only have 2 minutes. So they've got to take that money now and build a new place, so it's not actually going to immediately provide expanded services. It's going to necessitate a big building project, which is a whole different
distraction. At least the money's being spent on health care.
Yeah.
We're a health care organization. Let's spend it on health care.
Exactly.
Almost every dime. 5% administrative costs, 95% taking care of our vets.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. let's go back to that. Well, I think all the people who, you know, who duke it out in the system and look to make it better, like, you know, guys like you and gals like you, that's what's going to save us from this. The people who roll over and say, okay, you know, administrator guy with no medical degree, go ahead and boss me around all day and I'll do whatever you want. The system breaks at that point.
Yeah. It's been a long time, but it's finally coming to light, and I think bringing it into the light is going to bring in some good.
It's going to help a lot.
Some good changes.
Because at the end of the day, Congress's job is to keep all this stuff running, but their only tool really is to affect the budget, and you can't affect the budget for anything involving veterans, or you hate veterans. So the tool is really not there.
We can affect the budget easily taking care of veterans.
They
slow down the
do
number
it.
Of administrators, increase number of health care people.
But that's going to have to be done from inside the system, which is the difficult part. So we need folks like you.
I'll keep working on it. Don't
Thanks
worry.
Thanks a million. We appreciate it.
Really appreciate you coming in and talking to us about this. It's a really important
topic.
It's a
super important topic, and it's one people don't understand. So thank you very, very much. We appreciate all your hard work. And we're not going to try to boss you around ever because we don't know anything about being a doctor. But we do listen to Weird Al periodically.
I love it.
Thanks a lot. All right, everybody, have fun at the Super Bowl. Bob, you're awesome.
The big game.
Casey and Arshad.